everyone out there. This is Blake Ruby. I'm here in San Antonio, Texas, on a Saturday evening, 8 o'clock our time. It's partly cloudy. The sun has gone down. It's getting dark. It's been a good week. And I have my radio show to talk about my book, The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul, and to talk about the many subjects that are within the book. It's available in the Amazon Kindle bookstore. And if you have Kindle Unlimited, you can get it for free. The main thing is, I feel like I've accomplished a mission. I've got the book out there. If I was to die today, I feel good about putting this information out. I don't know who's read it. It's got many subjects on spirituality. Let me read to you the subjects that are in the book. The human spirit, our spirit parents, because I say that we have a mother god as well, who are co-creator gods of our solar system. And we have co-creator gods of the galaxy, too. That was the creator of the universe's master plan. In the very beginning, in the Big Bang, when the first solar system was created. And then the great original creator spirit, or the supreme creator, if you will, the highest heaven, the lowest heaven, the transition, what happens when we die? And I've learned all this information about these things from people. Mostly near-death experiences. I've been very interested in that since 1992 when I picked up my first book on a near-death experience entitled Embraced by the Light by Betty Eady, which is one of the most complete and profound near-death experiences ever. If you haven't read that book, I wish they would do a movie on it. You know, they've done a few movies on that subject, like Heaven is for Real, but that is a completely awesome near-death experience. And she died for 20 minutes. She was clinically dead. She had a hysterectomy and then internal bleeding. And for 20 minutes, she visited heaven. And that's one book of many books that I've read on the subject of near-death experiences. And then reincarnation. Yes, that's part of our soul journey. How we lead this life, our spirit survives, our spirit and our soul. The soul is the brain of the spirit that has memory of our past lives and our pre-existence. And then because the universe is divided up into different categories of planets on an evolutionary scale, whereas Earth is the lowest, also known as the planet of sorrows. Is that a surprise to anybody? With all the fighting going on, all the wars and killing throughout the centuries, and even now, look what's happening. We're still dropping bombs, you think? Maybe we didn't drop enough bombs in World War II. All those millions of people that were killed, and we're still at it, retaliating, getting even. There's got to be a better way, because if there isn't, logically, we're going to destroy ourselves. I don't want that. I know you don't want that for ourselves and our children and the children of the future, right? So, I was driving down the road today in my car, and I heard this car beside me pull up at a stoplight. A hip-hop song was on this radio, and he had it up loud. I like hip-hop, so I like hip-hop music. I like all types of music. But as you know, it can be very negative-oriented. The words, you know what I'm talking about. And that's just one song of thousands that are out there. Nowadays, that's what people are talking about. That's what people are focused on, the negativity. Well, my book and the subjects that I talk about are the opposite. They will balance that out, if you will. If you read that my book and the subjects, if you listen to what I'm talking about, all these subjects on spirituality, it will be like a light, a bright light, almost like looking into the sun, for lack of a better way of describing it. And I've learned this from other people. Everything that I've talked about, I've had to piece together some stuff to explain some things I didn't understand, but mostly everything that I know, I've learned from other people. I just put it together. And there are a lot of people out there, a lot of beautiful, beautiful people in the world. I see it daily. I see people and I'm impressed with just how beautiful they are. They're in California, in Hollywood. People who pursue acting careers or musical careers, they're very good, decent people. And there's a majority of them in the world, really. It's just the small minority of people, the dictators, the tyrants, the bullies that are making it hard for us. And the politicians, too, even though I don't want to say anything negative about them, but they are brilliant people and they can talk. They definitely know how to talk and speak in the public, but where are they in their spiritual lives? We should be concerning ourselves with that because they're making decisions for all of us. They're the ones that have put us into wars before in the past and may do the same in the future. Well, continuing on with my other subjects, the types of angels. Jesus Christ, I was talking about him, and I'm going to talk about Jesus some more. I was talking about Jesus in my last show last week, last Saturday. And what an appropriate time of the year, right? Easter, Good Friday yesterday, Easter Sunday tomorrow. But to continue on with the subjects of my book, The Devil, Bad Spirits and Demons, Space and Darkness, The Four Forces of the Universe, Categories of Planets, Mother Earth, I'd like to talk a little bit about Mother Earth today. Types of extraterrestrials, our pre-existence before we were born. Telepathy, dreams, sin, the life review, the human aura, prayer, a sample prayer, suicide, harmful impressions, noise pollution, a real problem that we're not aware of. We should be. We think it doesn't bother us, but it does. Really. And then some poems of mine. Titles. I like creating titles, like for books and songs. Just titles. That's all I do sometimes. I just write down titles. Friendly tips, biblical misinterpretations, my references, and a planet called Herculobus. That's another story for later on. So let me talk about Jesus. I was on that subject last week, and I don't know who tuned into my show last week, but I basically said, to sum it up, that in our past, we've had a lot of extraterrestrial intervention. And by the way, if you want to listen to my past shows, you can go to BBS Radio and click on any one of the links for my previous four shows, and that last show, the 8th of April, was it? Anyway, so what I said was, the Jesus that was born in Bethlehem and the Jesus that died on the cross were two different people. So the Jesus that was born in Bethlehem of the Virgin Mary, who was artificially inseminated by this extraterrestrial race, and the Star of Bethlehem that shone down from up above was actually an extraterrestrial probe, not just some fantasy that it's been made out to be without any real scientific explanation. No one's come up with a sufficiently logical answer. Before I learned about this, and that it is explained in the book Abduction to the Ninth Planet. A man, yes, he was abducted and taken to another planet. Yes, it happens, you know. These people's lives are changed, and that's what we have to believe. Concrete evidence. What kind of evidence do you want? What kind of evidence would satisfy you that we're not alone in the universe, that the universe is teeming with life? I'll give you some evidence. 10,000 people saw a one-mile-wide spaceship in Phoenix in 1997. Are you going to say that those 10,000 people are either crazy or making that story up? 10,000 people? Logically, an intelligent person wouldn't think that way. How about in Hudson Valley? In the 80s, 5,000 people saw a triangular-shaped flying saucer. 5,000 people. And do we need a piece of metal from one of the spaceships to convince us that they exist? Or do we want a spaceship to land in the White House's front lawn to prove that they exist? You remember that movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still? You know what happened when a spaceship did land, because, you know, the military mind of human beings will probably be shoot first and then ask questions later. Am I right? And have you ever seen the alien face crop circle in 2002 that appeared in Hampshire, England? And these crop circles are very intricate and complex, and they appear overnight. Now, if you believe that someone got out there with a board and started stamping down the grass in these fields to create a very detailed alien face and a circle with some codes inside of it, then, well, I guess you're in need of some further evolution. Anyway, so my contention is we're not alone in the universe. There's been plenty of evidence that extraterrestrials exist. Now back to Jesus. So God's master plan, in coordination with the race of aliens from the planet Thyuba, decided that the time was ripe because of all the evil that was going on over the Earth during that time, approximately 2,000 years ago. And so the first part of the plan was for this baby to be born, who would be in a very evolved soul, a very evolved soul. However, that individual did not have the knowledge necessary to perform all of the miracles that he would need to perform, because he came from the pre-existence into this world, born, and went through the river of oblivion, where one's knowledge of one's pre-existence is erased. I think some people may have heard of this before. It's like a veil that covers the mind, and we don't remember that we existed prior to being born, and that we have had previous lives. And the purpose of that is because we are made to forget. This planet is a very specific learning environment. And anyway, so Jesus was born. He grew up to be maybe 12, 14 years old. He had a brother, Luiki. He did many great things. He read to the religious people then, the scribes and the Pharisees, impressed them with his knowledge, but he himself didn't have the knowledge to perform the miracles that would be necessary to convince the people that God exists. and that there is an afterlife. So that Jesus, as I said in my last show, I don't know how many of you went and checked the internet, because he wound up in Japan. His brother Ulrike was killed in China or Burma. Jesus got to Japan, got married, had children, and died of old age there. Check it out in the internet. Now, you can accept this just as a theory, or my opinion, or it could be true, or it might not be true, because I can't prove it. But I'm a truth seeker, and I've been seeking truth, whereas before, I was satisfied to just accept what I was told. And a lot of people are that way now, I've noticed. For traditional reasons, because of conforming reasons, they don't want to stand out like a black sheep, if you know what I mean. But I'm 62 years old, and my mother, she got me on the path of spirituality. She was a mystic herself, and I've studied mysticism, and Jesus was one of the greatest, the Jesus who died on the cross was one of the greatest mystics. So let me go back to the great plan that God put into effect. So 30 years after the Jesus of Bethlehem was born, supposedly the same Jesus, because he looked like the other Jesus that went to Japan, because this extraterrestrial race has the power to create bodies, human bodies. Now that sounds like science fiction. You remember the movie Avatar? Those blue bodies, how they were able to put their spirit, their astral bodies, if you will, inside them and move them, you know, just like another body, wearing a coat, you know. That same principle applies. There was a very evolved soul living on the planet Byuba, a Category 9 planet, the highest category, whereas we're the lowest category. He came to Earth. He learned the language. He was trained properly. He was put down near the Sea of Galilee. He was baptized by John the Baptist. And that began his ministry of 3 years before he was crucified. And he performed all those miracles. Now he had the knowledge to do all of that, as I mentioned to you last time. Let me take a drink of water. All the miracles, turning water into wine, and I submit to you that the wine that he turned from water into wine was non-alcoholic. What do you think of that? Also, curing the lepers, healing the blind, healing the paralyzed, feeding the people in the Sermon on the Mount, from the spaceship up above, matter transformation, beaming down Star Trek, and in all of these futuristic movies that we've seen in the recent past and that are going on today even, the beaming down is a real thing. I submit to you it does exist with these highly advanced civilizations with their spacecraft that are capable of traveling at several times the speed of light and can go interdimensional. And the propulsion systems are anti-gravity, electromagnetic. So, the Sermon on the Mount, the transforming the few fish and the bread that was in the basket there into more, was simple for them to do. Of course, it was kind of behind the scenes where this was being done, so the people, they didn't know, they didn't care. They just got the food and ate it and listened to Jesus talk. Walking on the sea, the water. Now, it might be possible, I think, for someone to do something like that, but in my opinion, it was like a tractor beam from a spaceship up above. Oh, and by the way, when Moses was alive, he didn't really part the Red Sea. It was a spaceship from up above with an anti-gravity beam and some other really cool technology to make a way through the Red Sea for them to travel. And unlike the story goes that the Pharaoh followed them in the water there, or across the bottom of the Red Sea, which had been opened up, it didn't happen. He didn't follow them, according to the book, Abduction from the Ninth Planet. So something to think of, you know. Don't always accept what you believe to be the truth. You know what I'm saying? Excuse me for being cute, but anyway, so what else? The calming of the sea. Now, it's possible, I think, with words to do that, and tones, but I think maybe the spaceship also did that. The restoring Lazarus from the dead. I don't think he was dead to begin with. I think this was just another part of the plan to impress the people. And so some kind of chemical was given to Lazarus that during the nighttime when some extraterrestrials were able to beam down next to his bed and administer those chemicals in some way, injected or with some other kind of technology to reduce the heartbeat to a very low level where it looked like he was dead, but he wasn't dead. And so then when he was put in the cave a few days later, 4 days, when Jesus said, okay, let's go and wake up Lazarus, they said, well, he's dead. No, he's just sleeping. Because that was part of the plan. And then the night before, some extraterrestrials beamed into the cave. They administered some revitalizing chemical or some kind of technology, medical technology. And so when the stone was rolled back and Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, he came forth and the people were very impressed, right? But the greatest miracle of all was the resurrection. And Jesus knew that would happen. And he had to endure all that. Feel for him in a way because he was living on a planet of the ninth category. And a very evolved soul where, you know, we eventually will get to in our soul's journey. And but that just shows that even when we become very advanced in our soul journey, we're willing to come back down to the very bottom to help people out, to see them, to help them in their own journey, even if it means enduring all that brutality and violence that Jesus endured, the beatings, and being nailed on the cross, and dying on the cross. And like you said, Father, forgive them for they know what they do. Because back then, not very evolved. You can see, one can understand how far we've come in an evolutionary way from back then. And this all includes technology, you know, the industrialization age. Throughout the centuries, all the progress we've made, become, you know, not cavemen, but we discovered the wheel, and then we evolved and progressed and developed and were able to build better habitations, and then the industrial age came along, you know, trains and steamboats and cars. So we've come a long way. People back then, the Romans, the people living in that area near the Sea of Galilee, were beginning souls, with possibly a few exceptions. But anyway, Jesus died on the cross. They brought him down, and indeed, his body was dead. His heart had stopped beating. He had stopped breathing. And he was put into that cave, the grave. Then the extraterrestrials recovered his body, and using a similar process to how they created the body in the first place, they were able to restore the life. His astral body slipped back into the body, just like an avatar. And he showed himself to Mary and the other woman and all the disciples. He appeared in the room, beamed out. They said the doors were closed, and he showed up. There's nothing, some kind of fantasy about that. There is no fantasy involved with that. There is a scientific explanation with everything here in the material world. God does not work in ways of magic, if you will. Although there might be some exceptions to that. But my contention is that Jesus beamed into that room, and so then they saw him, they talked with him, and then later he appeared to them at another time, and then at the Sea of Galilee, they had breakfast with him. They were fishing, you know the story. They had been fishing all night, and then they saw someone on the shore, and he asked them if they caught anything, and they said, no, nothing. And he said, put your net out to the right of the boat. And they did, and they caught all this fish, and then they realized it was him. So then they had breakfast. I think it was 40 days that he walked around after the resurrection, right? And then he ascended. Wouldn't that be a great thing to strengthen one's faith? If their faith, I mean the disciples' faith, had not been strengthened enough anyway from before all the things that they'd seen, all the miracles, the resurrection. But finally, Jesus, who died on the cross, that evolved soul, lifting up from the ground into the air, disappearing from their sight into the clouds, up into the spaceship. But I say to you that Jesus who died on the cross is alive in the spirit world in heaven, and he has a throne, and it's right next to our spirit mother and father. That's what I contend. Anyway, so that was what my philosophy on Jesus, my story on Jesus at this time of the year, an appropriate time to tell you what I believe, what I've learned from other people. And you can believe it or not, but it is my opinion. I'm entitled to it, right? And I consider myself a Christian, but would you persecute me if I didn't believe everything that the Bible says? Anyway, I've talked about the Bible before in my other shows. It's a stepping stone. It was a stepping stone for me, but it could only take me so far. Well, one of the things that I try to do in my show is to shock and awe you with some revelation, spiritual matters that might surprise some people, and maybe not others. Did you know that there's a race of human beings living here in our solar system? Yes. And they're more advanced than we are. They're living on one of Jupiter's moons called Ganymede. They used to have their own planet in between Jupiter and Mars, where the asteroid belt now exists. It was a yellow planet. But due to some overzealous experiments with antimatter, they blew up their own planet, but they were able to evacuate in time to Ganymede. And now they have a civilization there. Most of it is underneath the ground because they're using the seismic activity. There's a lot of seismic activity on Ganymede and some of the other moons of Jupiter's. And they're able to harness that energy to power their city. Let me read to you what I've got in my book here. And I learned this from the book I Visited Ganymede by an author whose name is Yosef Ibrahim. Anyway, these beings, they're human beings. Their height is approximately 6 feet tall. Skeletal structure, medium. Lifespan, unknown. They're proficient with telepathy, very advanced species technologically and spiritually, extremely knowledgeable of spiritual matters in the fourth dimension. Their spacecraft are saucer-shaped. capable of light speed propulsion system, electromagnetic / anti-gravitational. Ganymede is one of Jupiter's moons. It is a shame our scientists have focused their efforts elsewhere in our solar system in search for life. An incredible civilization is living on Ganymede. They have existed thousands of years before the human race. The original home planet was not always Ganymede, but actually a yellow planet that had been situated between Mars and Jupiter, now known as the asteroid belt. Those who foresaw their planet's forthcoming demise were able to evacuate it in advance. Why did they choose to inhabit Ganymede instead of the Earth? Perhaps only the spirit, mother, and father can answer that. Nevertheless, Ganymede is a lovely moon, or small planet, if you will. The atmosphere has breathable air supplemented by technological means. Beautiful green and lush valleys and artificial reservoirs cover the landscape. Due to constant seismic activity, the buildings are constructed underground. Only the top level protrudes from the surface. The city lights are capable of being seen by telescope. How about that? They've learned how to control the seismic activity and take advantage of this inherent energy to produce heat and electricity. All their buildings are connected with a very complex and efficient ventilation system, supplying sufficient amounts of breathable air, oxygen, etc. Bacteria is non-existent thanks to their knowledge of its nature, thereby preventing and or eliminating it. Transportation methods are either electric or anti-gravitational. This race of human beings, besides having five senses, has two additional senses. Their sixth sense is an inherent ability to communicate telepathically. In fact, their pineal gland, located behind the forehead and the brain, are twice the size of ours. Their seventh sense, unlike the sixth sense, is learned. It is the ability to create and alter matter by speaking words and or singing tones. After birth into their world, the new members of that society are indoctrinated into their true spiritual nature and immediately begin learning about the fourth dimension, the spirit world, understanding its intricacies and how to interact with it. Every member of society is instructed in the seventh sense at an early age. Obviously, the use of it requires a great deal of responsibility. Children are educated by their parents in the first 2 years of their lives. Later, more detailed instruction is taught in groups. By age 10, a child already has a complete understanding of their bodies to include their anatomies and physiologies as well as the psychology of their mind. Learning, as it is in the most advanced civilizations, is from which they derive the most fun and enjoyment. Hey, learning should be more fun than anything else. You know what I'm saying? Everyone continues to develop themselves spiritually through instruction and or individual methods for their entire lifespan. Distance to Ganymede is approximately 450 million miles. So how many people knew that there are other human beings living in our solar system? And you know, NASA is trying to find life on Europa by putting a probe down to the bottom of the ocean. They say exists underneath the ice surface. Because at the bottom of oceans here on Earth, you have hydrothermal vents where there's a lot of life that usually gathers around. And that's going to cost billions of dollars. But is it really necessary? No. There's life in our solar system. There's life elsewhere. The universe is teeming with life. Okay. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, this planet that we live on, actually a cosmic being? It's alive. Our planet is alive. It's otherwise known as Mother Gaia. All the plants and plant and animal life. And did you know animals have souls? Yes. When we get to heaven, we'll see a lot of animals there. Dogs, cats, they have souls. Spirits and souls. Yes, indeed. My father, who was a World War II veteran, we had some cats. We grew up with cats. One cat's name was Lindy, and we had Tracy and Tootsie. Anyway, when Tracy died, and she was about 19, 20 years old, I wasn't there when it happened, but he said he saw her spirit leave her body and float upward. And here is a man, battle-hardened, had men die in his arms, killed men. He was at Normandy and Dunkirk. Come on, would he make that up? can't believe that some people don't believe these things. It makes me laugh. Anyway, so Mother Gaia, our planet is a cosmic being in its own right. It is alive, ladies and gentlemen. And suffice it to say, we're kind of choking it with all the exhaust and smoke we're putting in the air. I don't know how much longer it can take it, because this is all man-made. And, you know, burning of fossil fuels and all some of the other stuff that we put into the atmosphere, the hydrocarbons, you know, destroying the ozone layer. But especially the plant life, consider that, you know. Our world is alive. Now, our sun is keeping our planet alive, right? Even at nighttime, we know that, you know, it's shining on the other side of the world. And it's rotating on its axis. Isn't that a miracle? A power that's like clockwork without fail. That we don't know how it came into existence. That same power that's rotating the planets and moons of our solar system and revolving them around the sun. And that's just our solar system, not to mention the other solar systems and galaxies. That power, that gravity/power, came from the original creator, and it's expanding. And it's a magical kind of power, really. But our planet is a beautiful entity. You know, it's got an inner core, molten iron, and electromagnetic waves radiate from the center outward into the atmosphere. It's got a beautiful atmosphere, air, nitrogen, you know. And it's protected, you know. Like when spaceships come back into the Earth's atmosphere, you know, they burn up into this atmosphere, because it's like a layer of protection, if you will. We've got a self-contained atmosphere here, and we're floating through space, traveling thousands of miles an hour. And so Mother Gaia is a beautiful cosmic being in her, I say her, own right. And don't you know that she has some awesome power? You know the hurricanes and the tornadoes that come up. They can be very devastating, and we're always impressed afterwards with the power of these events, right? Well, moving along here, I see I've got about 20 minutes left. I've written some things down. I want to say some prayers, just quick prayers for some people. Before I say that final prayer at the end, Jay Condro is the son of a fellow Toastmaster. I'm in a Toastmasters club. And he has some kind of cancer, and I would like to say a prayer for him. Dear Creator, please bless Jay with healing in any way he needs it. Help him in any way he needs it, please, Creator. And I pray for Mr. Trump, for his blessing. Please bless him and help him in any way he needs it. You know, I think he's doing pretty good for a 70-year-old man. And he was doing very well for himself, you know, with his business, a billionaire. He didn't have to be the president, but he wanted to help. And maybe he also wanted to be known as the president, you know, go down in history. But why can't we be more loving of each other? Excuse me, let me take a drink of water. You know, before the election, I prayed for Hillary and Donald, because they're human beings, you know, and they're trying to do their best, do what they think is right. It seems like whenever one administration gets into power, the other one is always at their backs, always, never has anything good to say. How about you? Do you have good things to say about people, or are you totally negative about things that you say? You know, you'll have to be, you're going to be held accountable for that on that day that you don't know in the future when you transition from this life into the next life. There's a judgment, you know, there's a life of you and how we treat people and how we love people. And I've said this before, the key to loving people is to pray for people. If you don't pray for people, you're going to wind up saying bad things about people and not really caring for them. People aren't going to graduate from this existence. They're going to continue that cycle, reincarnating into a category one planet or a planet of the lowest evolutionary category where there's a lot of war and fighting going on. It behooves all of us to develop ourselves spiritually so that we won't be coming back to a planet like this. And we can continue the progression, just like with school, from kindergarten to first grade, second grade. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in order to graduate from this world, we have to be good. We have to have good hearts. We have to try to love people. Give people more hugs, please. I learned a hard lesson recently with a co-worker who died. I think I told you that. Yeah, I did tell you that in other shows. I don't know who else is tuning in today for the first time. Who's tuning in today for the first time? But please, even someone that you don't like, an enemy, pray for them. Because think about it. If they died, how would you feel? And don't say that you'd be happy, because that's bad karma, and you'll have to pay for that. No one deserves to die. We're all children of God. We deserve to be loved by each other. These other extraterrestrial races I've heard, read about, they adore each other. They love each other. They think they're the best thing. But us? We say negative things about each other sometimes. And I'm guilty of that. I've said it before in the past. And maybe I might, you know, it's easy to get angry driving down the road. This world we live in is not an easy place to be, you know, because of all the dangers that exist. You know, animals that might eat us, or snakes or spiders, you know, that can kill us. And the weather that can kill us, you know, get struck by lightning and all of these dangers. But, ladies and gentlemen, rise above it. Pray. That is what I ask you to do. Pray to your creator of your soul and spirit, who made you. Because you didn't happen by accident, right? No, you didn't happen by accident. Because with all this life on Earth, if it happened by accident, then you know all the thousands of types of mammals, amphibians, reptiles, fish, birds, insects, trees, flowers, fruits, vegetables. Well, if it happened by accident here, couldn't it happen by accident elsewhere in the universe? Elsewhere in the universe? But if there's a creator who made all this and had the power and the knowledge to make all of this, would not that same creator have the power and knowledge to create the same life or different life elsewhere in the universe? I think so. No, it didn't happen by accident. So you didn't have by accident either. You just can't remember where you came from, because that's the way it was meant to be. But you can learn. You can find out that you existed before you were born. Remember that when you were born? Think back. Your eyes and your brain. Now I'm just... Forgive me. I went off on a tangent there. So, yes, we existed before we were born. And we've had, maybe some of us may have had many lives before. By the way, my book, The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul, check it out on Facebook. I've got a lot of really good information, cool stuff on spiritual matters there. The Gray Brain, Golden Soul on Facebook. So don't resist evolution, ladies and gentlemen. I know people are more concerned with working their job, raising children. Well, you can still do that. But don't you also want to be star travelers? Or do you want to use this technology that we have right now? The fastest spaceship we've got can go 40,000 miles an hour. Closest star is Alpha Centauri. It's about 4 light years away. You know how long it would take us presently with the technology we have to get there? About 20,000 years. But we could, if we find a way to get along with each other, and I say again, prayer is the key. Pray for Kim Jong-un. Pray for Mr. Putin. They're human beings that put the pants on just like you and I. Who knows what happened when they were younger? Maybe the parents didn't treat them right. Maybe they were sexually abused, physically abused, someone like Hitler. Now, let me ask you this about Hitler. Would you forgive Hitler for what he did? If you wouldn't, let me tell you about this hospice in Texas. In the book, I read about it in the book about, the author's name is John Lerma. And all these people that go into hospices, you know, they're either terminally ill or they're dying of old age. There was this 9-year-old boy who had a brain tumor, terminally ill. Beautiful, beautiful boy. I read about him in the book. He died. But before he died, he said, we have to be able to forgive someone like Hitler. Can you feel it? Forgiveness. That's what it's about. Forgiveness. Why can't you forgive? Why can't you give people second chances? People's hearts need a second chance. And I know you're wise. You know what to do. So, I want to get a few more minutes. Don't resist evolution, please. We're talking about forgiveness. Speaking about forgiveness. There is a person out there in California who I'd like to just give a shout out to. I knew her in San Diego. And we were friends. I think we were, you can say that we were friends for a while. And we had a little bit of a relationship going on, and I was infatuated with her. She is a beautiful person, an advanced soul, I think. Now she works for Fox Entertainment. And her name is Susan Tillerson. She lives in California. I'm not sure exactly where. Maybe Culver City. And I wish she would. I got this feeling that I've been trying to contact her, and I don't think she's forgiven me for some of the things that I said or did. But I forgive her. And I wish we could communicate and have that forgiveness. You know, I've been married. I'm on my second marriage. And it's not good to leave this life, you know, having some kind of grudge against someone, whether it's a friend or a relative. You know what I'm saying? I plead for people to put aside your differences, especially with relatives, before they die. Tell people you love them. Give them more hugs. Tell people you're proud of them. Tell your children that you're proud of them, that you love them. Anyway, I know that when we get to the afterlife, heaven is very real, as you know. I think by now, for those that don't believe in heaven, well, you might just have to make another trip back to a Category 1 planet of the lowest evolutionary level. It's good to change our beliefs before we die, ladies and gentlemen, my friends, because we will be held accountable for all that we think, say, and do. And that's the truth. let's have peace on this world. Don't you think? I'm doing my part, you know. I've got my book, got my radio show. I talk about peaceful things, right? I don't say anything negative about people. I might sound like I'm getting on some people's cases. I'm just trying to help. We're all human beings, right? I mean, you know, with all the stuff that's going on with Syria, the airstrikes, and that mother of all bombs, what a name for a mother for a bomb, a mother of all bombs. I mean, if you were over there, if you heard people boasting about mother of all bombs, wouldn't that make you angry? Anyway, I don't want to go down that way, but you know what I mean. And all the violence, all the killing, still going on. We're brothers and sisters in spirit. Peace is possible. Pray. In that near-death experience that Lufamoso had where he met God, believe it. He was driving his Mustang down the road at 100 miles an hour, flipped end over end, caught on fire. He was thrown from the vehicle. He left his body, looked down on it. He went to a tunnel. He met God. God said to him, man will learn, man will pray, P-R-E-Y on man, until man learns to pray, P-R-A-Y for man. No joke. That really happened. This guy died almost died in a car accident. Why can't you believe that? Okay. Oh, quick prayer. Master of the universe, creator, please bless all of us. Bless everyone on this earth. Change the hearts of those who need changing. Kim Jong-un, please help him to change his ways. Mr. Putin, let's get along with Russia like we used to, and Gorbachev and Reagan were friends. We can still do it. Let's set our sights out there in the universe. Forget all the petty differences and conflicts that we have. Let's work towards becoming star travelers. When we look up into the sky, we know that God is real. God is still alive. Because the universe is the last frontier, and it's the home of our Creator. And our Creator is so huge, you won't believe how huge the created universe is. And I'm talking galaxies huge, ladies and gentlemen. Creator, please be with us, everyone listening to my voice. Bless us all and help us to know that Jesus did come back from the life, from the dead. He was resurrected. My belief is a little different than other people's, but the main thing is it happened. He did come back. He ascended. He's in heaven now in the spirit next to the spirit mother and father in the holy city in the throne room right there. So, my friends, this is Blake Ruby, author of The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul, saying goodbye for today. Until next week, I hope you have a great week, a safe and enjoyable one. I love you. Take care. Bye-bye.